Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where people don't fold when life is lifing. They rise anyway because you were not created to be limited by what happened to you. God's DNA flows through you, and you're built to overcome, to grow, and to become. And everything that you've been through, that is not your excuse. That's actually your launch place. That is your message. Okay. Today's guest is Etta Kay, from overcoming paralysis as a child to building a life that most people wouldn't even attempt. Obviously, I'm not going to bore you guys by telling his story myself. I want to bring him on here. So, Ed, I'm super excited. Thank you for coming into the hot seat today, and taking the time to share your story. I ask everybody the question out the gate, and that is, tell us your elevator pitch. Who are you, and what makes you special, darling?
Sure. My name's Etta Kay. I'm 42 years of age, 43 in August. I'm from the United Kingdom. So what makes me special? Well, I'll leave that to the great audience. But when I was 3 years old, I got paralyzed with a rare illness called Guillain-Barré syndrome. What it does, it attacks the nerves. And in the more extreme cases like mine, it paralyzed me completely. I got completely written off, but thanks to a unique method devised by my dad, which I'll go into a little bit later, I made a near full recovery. I'm still partially paralyzed in my left foot, but still never used that as an excuse. Never registered as disabled, never used it as an excuse not to participate in life. I ended up going to university, did athletics at quite a high level. I competed in a natural version of Mr. Universe, which is basically bodybuilding minus steroids, to put it bluntly. And I won what's called the para division for people who've maybe got a bit of a challenge. And I also competed as an abled bodied athlete in bodybuilding as well. By trade, I'm an entrepreneur. I do a mix of real estate, legal consultancy. And I recently branched out into writing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll leave it to you to decide if I'm special or not, because
No,
you know, we are, we need to be humble.
this is the this is incredible, and I'm gonna unpack this because that's a lot right now. So I think let's start maybe kind of at the beginning, where you are 3 years old and you're told one story about your life and it didn't happen. So what did that plant inside of you?
Okay, I think what it did plant really was a less than resilience very, very quickly, because the way my family are is we're quite a robust bunch. My family are from what could be classed as a working class, done good background. They came from absolute poverty, but made something of their lives. My dad became a well-known academic in later life after serving in the Turkish military as an officer, which was very unusual considering his impoverished background. My mum became a teacher. So they always had a really good work ethic. Now, they got told by doctors that I wouldn't recover, but my dad basically said, screw this, I'm going to research nerve growth, being from a scientific background. So what he did, he went into libraries in London and in Manchester, two of our biggest cities, and he discovered a study by an Italian doctor that if you encourage a rat to become aggressive, nerves grow. So he basically decided, I'm going to get my son to become aggressive. And when I developed basic movement after, you know, the initial phase of it all, he basically got me a punch bag. So when I could barely move it in the wheelchair, he got me hitting that punch bag, hitting it and hitting it. And as I gradually developed movement more and more, and as things progressed, I gradually got better and better and better. He would fight all the time with the school district. They would say, you should register him as, I think you call it, physically challenged. And he said,
Yeah.
no, I'm not going to give him an excuse. So I think what it did, it instilled in me that you've got to be resilient from an early age above everything
Yeah.
else. Both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. I first of all, I just want to honor your dad in this journey because hell yes, he had your back. against a system. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's incredible because a lot of parents become a victim in that space. So I want to give credit to him because I think that that is huge to have that level of support. You know, I think that's incredible that he went to bat for you. You know, that's amazing.
And I'm very, very blessed.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And I know you recognize that for sure. Do you think that, you know, just having that adversity gave you an edge that a lot of people would never understand?
110%. And just to go back on your point, I definitely got drawn the short straw with having that virus. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But on the other hand, I did get a very good blessing in having a fantastic family. And my mum was great as well. My mum actually, was a teacher. She taught me, other things. Whilst my dad got me to be aggressive, she helped me with things like my balance. She constructed like a plank for me to walk along, and gradually taught me to balance more. So, I'm really blessed with if you like, the hand I got drawn with as regards to my family. Bless them both.
Yeah,
And I'm still alive today.
that's so incredible. So you adopted this mindset of like, I can overcome anything. Did that come naturally, or is it something you had to intentionally build?
Well, my parents didn't give me any choice.
Yeah.
Joking aside, I think I'm going to quote my trainer, Matthew White, who'll be watching this later on, and my training sponsor. He basically says you'd never really had to have much coaching as regards your mindset
Yeah.
when he's coached me. So I do think by nature, my whole family's driven. My sister's a neurologist. I've obviously gone on to have a career as an entrepreneur, and both my parents, who came from absolutely nothing, did the same. So I think it's very, it's maybe genetic to a degree.
Yeah. I love that. And I want my audience to see a very honest side of this because no matter what you choose for a mindset, I feel like there's going to be a challenge. So, were there moments where that belief really got tested hard?
Oh yeah, definitely at school, because basically the teachers used to say, "Oh yeah, you won't make anything of yourself." And my dad would get me all psyched, and I just think, right, I
Yeah.
thought, you know what, I'm just going to prove you wrong. And I used to rub it in their face every time I won. I would rub it in their face. Though it's not very mature, and I wouldn't do that now.
Yeah,
I'm not
no,
man
it
in my
was fine.
40s, but when you're young and full of bravado, I guess it comes
Yeah.
out a bit.
Yeah. We're all human, so there's always a little I'll show you in all of us. So I
Definitely.
absolutely respect that. Okay, so you moved through, you're talking about, you know, the different worlds you moved through. Law, modeling, bodybuilding. What ties all of that together?
I think what it is that if an opportunity comes my way, I would always make the most of it. For instance, I've always been interested in politics. My first degree was in politics and social policy. It was during the George Bush Jr. era, so a very, shall we say, very, very sort of a time of a lot of change in the noughties, where you obviously had the Iraq War. So it's quite a fascinating time. You had the 2008 crash. I mean, who could forget that? And I basically did law just to get training in something that guaranteed you a job. And I also was interested in standing up for people, because I guess I was a bit of an underdog myself. I like the idea of standing up for the underdog. And then I discovered that I didn't really like taking orders. I'm a bit like you, Brandon. I'm very much my own person in the way you are. I can tell you're an entrepreneur, because I bet you absolutely hate taking orders. Am I right?
Yeah, that you can't boss me around. No.
I gathered. I discovered that, I didn't like taking orders. So I researched careers where I could work for myself. And I discovered that real estate, my dad had done a bit of property investing. Real estate's called property investing in the UK. So I gradually got into that. And I got into the modelling because during lockdown, I got really bored. Like a lot of us were. A lot of us resent the fact that our Prime Minister at the time was breaking the lockdown rules while locking us all down. Pretty disgusting. I was bored. And my friend Matt, Matthew White, said to me, "Do you know what? We're both bored in lockdown. let's do a body transformation challenge. I'll give you a model's physique in 3 months. So I said, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So I did it, raised money for charity. A couple of people shared it in Yumi because there was a bit of novelty. This guy who was a small scale real estate developer doing that, it was a bit of a novelty at the time. And then I got approached to do modeling and it just spiraled. And then Matt said, do you want to go into bodybuilding? You may as well do this now. Yeah, let's do it. He goes, I'll sponsor you. So I just did it. It was just, I think what it was, things got came my way. And I think because I had, that particular experience as a child, I sort of learned to make the most of things when they're offered to you and not let things pass you by. I'm not somebody who can just sit on my ass and do nothing. If I'm presented with a great opportunity.
I think that's incredible. And, that would be a whole episode in and of itself, like just the lockdown and how they got away with that. Like, unbelievable. I still am just like, how did really, guys? But I mean, you took an opportunity. I think that's incredible. You achieve this high level physically. So my next question would be like, what does training your body teach you about training your mind?
Well, they're very interlinked. A healthy body does actually lead to a healthy mind. I think what it did teach me was it taught me a lot about discipline. I was, that obviously, if you eat what you want, you're not going to have a great body, are you really? Let's face it, you've got so that's put with that level of discipline. And also, I want to give a big shout out to my mum again. Now, my mum is fantastic. What's called diet discipline in bodybuilding, but a very good role model there. And a very, very important thing was my dad worked for a very well-known company that produced, shall we say, processed food during the 80s. So he saw the crap they put in it. And as a kid, he wouldn't let us have processed food. And do you know what? That was such a blessing in bodybuilding. But I think the main thing is discipline. If you have a routine and you train your body, it helps in all areas. And I think that's probably why I sort of grasped things like the modeling when it came on, because I was so driven, I got so hyped.
No, I absolutely respect that. And I think, a lot of people don't understand, and it took me a long time to learn this, is that, your physical form reflects a lot of what your business and your success is saying. So I've had to take that seriously myself lately, which means I do a very unsexy thing and I literally eat the same thing every day. Like very uncool, right? And I literally just shared a meme today about someone saying, I ate a donut but I didn't get sprinkles. So if you see me looking skinny, mind your business, right? And that's funny to me because I would have thought that like a million years ago. Like, look, I'm compromising. But I think that discipline, it's a very unsexy thing. It's not about fun though. It's about like really, if you're gonna steward potential, if you're gonna help other people, like I say, I could never sit inside of a church and take a pastor serious who weighs 300 pounds. He can't tell me about a relationship with Christ because he's destroying like, every chance he has to like physically share that. And I absolutely, with the mind, it's correlated. So 100%, I get the journey. I'm not going to be bodybuilding or modeling anytime soon for sure, but it is important to steward your health and take that serious no matter how it looks. How do you stay grounded when you're getting, all the recognition and external validation?
Well, I always view it like this. It can be taken away from you any minute. So I just think never take it for granted. Always be gracious. Always, I hate this phrase, but always be kind to people. Don't ever act arrogant. I often think, right, if you go to a restaurant, you can tell a lot about people, how they treat the waiter. Believe you me. And I'm always very sort of, I don't know, I kind of feel because my family were originally really working class, really poor, to sort of really, really big up the waiter, and I really can't stand people who mistreat waiters. Another thing I used to stay grounded is remember the 4th of October 1986, which was the day I got paralyzed. And my life could have been very, very different if I wasn't blessed with such an awesome family.
Yeah. Do you think that that effect, seeing your family from where they were, and I agree with you with the service industry, okay, because I've bartended for 30 years, and you can tell a lot about how people treat people. You do a lot of, pro bono help working with others. Is your family story what made that important to you, or was there another shift in your life that made that key?
Well, I think my family definitely played a massive part in it. Both my mum and dad were always the troublemakers at work. They were always the ones who would give the boss grief, and they often stuck up for other employees to their own detriment. It was very much in my family. My mum's from Northern England, from a place called Barnsley in Yorkshire. If your viewers Google Barnsley and the 1984 miners' strike, it's a town which is, shall we say, a lot of working class blue collar grit. It's known for sort of standing up to authority. But also, I think as well that as you get older, you always do want to give back if you've had a good life, unless you're really selfish, quite frankly.
But then you're just not having a good life. I don't think selfish people are happy and content in who they are, because when your cup
No.
is full, you have an abundance and you can't keep it to yourself. You literally can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't keep it to yourself. You're going to explode. So, yeah, there's absolutely. It says a lot about the people that are selfish. But I do want to clarify something before I move on with my next question.
Course.
You have an incredible family. Okay. I can't relate to that. Right. And I think a lot of my listeners probably couldn't relate to that. So I want to make it very clear that while that is a blessing, having a great family did not wave a magic wand in your life and make all your decisions for you. Right. Having a great family didn't just hand you all of this stuff. You still had to do the work. No matter what your dad's putting into you or how much your mom is guiding you, you ultimately still were left with that choice. And so I just want to clarify, it wasn't, I don't want you to think, ooh, Ed really, he did it because he had a good family and now I can't. You guys don't get to get stuck on that excuse. Okay.
Oh no, definitely. And you're spot on, because it's quite funny actually. Now, if I had followed my exact footsteps of my family, I would probably be more like my sister, who's a doctor and neurologist. I wouldn't have probably been an entrepreneur. I was sort of the first one in my family to branch out into that, just because I didn't want to have a boss, quite frankly. So I'm very different in that way. My mum and dad are more, shall we say, traditional professionals, or that's what they became in the end, not originally. But so I think I'm different in that way. I'm probably the most outside the box member.
You're the black sheep, Ed. Just say it. It's
Oh,
great.
yeah, I am the black sheep,
I
110%.
love it.
100%.
I love it. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about identity. Because I think this is very important on whatever journey you're in. But did you ever feel like you really had to prove something because of your past?
Definitely. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I think that if I give an example, part of my physical therapy, if you like, from my dad was this, even when I was, shall we say, less able, was playing able-bodied sport. Now, just for context, I'll talk about, I know a bit about football, or American football, as we call it in the UK. I could never play as, say, a wide receiver. But I could, for instance, play as a linebacker, a certain type of linebacker. I very much worked around the limitation. And so I had to, so shall we say, I would always make up for, shall we say, in sport, lack of technical ability by being very aggressive, basically. And my physical strength was actually quite good as well in relation to my size. I'm about 6'1", fairly, in relation to my size, I'm pretty strong. But yeah, I'm not a technical athlete. I very much had to make up for it in grit.
I mean, grit counts. You know what I mean? That definitely counts. What do you think is the biggest misconception people have when they hear your story?
I think it depends what audience, but some people might perceive my dad as really harsh and a bit cruel. Because if you think of it like this is a guy who said, right, nah, you're not disabled. you're doing, you're not having any, you're not getting pampered at all. Some people might interpret that as cruel if they don't understand the context. They don't actually understand the context of the time. This was the 1980s. Yeah, it's a very, very different time. And if you'll say, I don't know, I think they're called a Zoomer, you might find that a bit, this is really, really cruel. But nah, that'll be the misconception, I'd say. But it wasn't.
And that speaks to like the snowflake culture, and I don't have a
Yeah,
lot of
very
that.
much so.
I don't have a lot of that in my audience. I'm just definitely too abrasive. And so you're in good company here.
I thought so. I actually joked in another podcast that I was chatting with a Floridian guy. Now, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, got a lot of press in the UK during the lockdown. And he got called by our press the anti-woke governor. And I was joking with this Floridian podcast host. Yeah, my dad was the anti-woke therapist. The way he got me better would not be classed as woke whatsoever.
And it, but that's what people need. Like like I said, I admire him because he went against a machine. And, I've done that in little nuances. Like I homeschool, right? And when that transition happens, I've gone through a lot because like I don't vaccinate my kids, and I've make these sound decisions for things that I think are the best. And I mean, I'm hung out to dry for that. Like the judgment, every there's just walls constantly of like, you're not doing the right thing. And I couldn't imagine, because I'd be the same way if something, was happening. Actually it did. One of my kids got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when she was, I don't know, like 6 or 7, and the doctor
I'm
comes in,
sorry.
and well, this is the great thing. She comes in and she's like, listen, 1 in a million kids will never, ever even know they have this. And I'm like, well, she's the 1 in a million. So thank you for your time and see you later. And that was it. Did I know, like, I knew that when she would get stressed out, her body would attack itself. So we focus on that, right? Like, why are you stressed? There was never, I never let the diagnosis be a thing. Never. I was never like, well, she has rheumatoid arthritis, or I never let that become her identity. And I'm sure nowadays people would be like, that's horrible. You should have kept going to the doctor and you should have done what they said. And come on, you guys. She's 22 now, teaching students, has her own classroom. Like, she's doing amazing. And guess what? She hasn't had, it's gone. So I just am like your dad. I just want to high five him. He did a great job, and we need more parents like that, especially now. There's that. So, next question. How do you handle setbacks now compared to how you handled them earlier in your life?
Well, I'd probably say my big, what would be classed as my biggest setback would be, when I was free from getting paralyzed. So there's probably very little difference, actually, in that I probably do actually perform better under pressure at school. Actually, I was one of these people who would, as we say in England, piss about all year and then work at the last minute and then perform better under pressure. So, for context, I'd say get, I don't know, a C grade for my homework, but an A grade in the exam. I was that type of student. I didn't do anything until I actually had to. So, I've always performed better under pressure generally.
I think that's amazing. I can relate to that. It's always that deadline that gets me going. I could know about it for 2 weeks, but I won't do it until the night before it's gonna happen. Where does purpose fit into everything that you're building, Ed?
I'm a very goal-driven person. I need to have a goal, else I feel a bit low, to be honest. In fact, actually, I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier today, the one when you talk about people burning out and how your body sends, I think the metaphor you used was it sends agents and scouts. That sometimes can be me. So I did learn a bit from that to maybe, rein myself in because I do get hyper-focused. Because I'm so goal driven, and very much like me, my mum is as well. They're both past 80, they're both still got goals. I just couldn't be one of these people who slobs about. It's just not me.
I don't know how it could be anyone. Like, if I'm not doing a lot of things at once, that's been my downfall, right? People are like, focus on one thing. No, I want to do everything and I'm going to do everything and I could do it at my, whenever I want. Like I'll do whatever I want. Doing nothing, like I don't understand the point. I don't understand just like the giving up and the people I see that are literally my age who don't have purpose or passion or drive, and I just am, I get frustrated. I just want to shake them. Like there is so much out there and I don't know why. It's so hard for people to just flip the switch, Where does purpose kind of fit into really everything that you're building?
Where does it fit in? I think so. For me, I think my purpose is achieving goals, but also as well is another major purpose in my life is being a good husband to my wonderful wife, Helen. I'm very, very blessed to have a really beautiful wife, Helen, and I always like sort of bringing her along with me in anything I do. Setting goals where we can both grow together. Like when I did the modeling, I made sure she was on set with me. I got modeling jobs alongside me. I was very assertive about it, very astute, very, sort of, yeah, she's coming up.
Yeah, I love that.
So she plays a major part. I've actually got a book published, which is like a collection of poems I wrote for her.
Nice.
For me, it's sort of it's very, very important bringing her along with me. We're very inseparable, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it should be, any relationship. So I think that's incredible. Ed, right now, what are you pushing towards next? What's your next thing?
Well, I've actually set up a public relations firm because I've had a lot of media appearances in the past few years. It's called Midas Touch PR, and I've been working with a few clients to get them into the press. Been working with a club promoter who's basically bringing back old school dance. Now, I know like in the UK, EDM was probably a lot bigger in the 1990s anyway than it would have been in America.
Yeah.
It was it was absolutely massive, for my particular generation. So I'm doing PR for that. I'm also working with a charity I helped found called the Danny Butcher Foundation, who donate money to homeless veterans and veterans in
Nice.
need
I love that.
and other causes. And I'm actually as well currently promoting biography. My friend Jason Redding is a photographer, wrote about me to photos he took.
Perfect.
So again, that's my sort of goal at the moment, a mix of the PR and promoting the books. Oh, and another thing as well. My mum fulfilled a lifelong ambition earlier this year. She wanted to become a writer. I said, "You know what? I'm going to publish your books, mum." So I've recently published my mum's book, cold called a load of newspapers, and said, "Put my mum in your newspaper." And if you type in my mum's name, KJ Ake, you can read about her entering the Amazon charts about with a book she wrote about her own childhood, and she was all over her hometown's newspaper. So that's sort of my goals. I'm doing a lot of different things. I'm just like you. Can't sit still.
Yeah, I'm not going to put you in a box. I think that's amazing. Okay, my last question, because we're coming up on our time limit here. Ed, if you believed the limitations that people gave you at the start, who would you be today?
I'd probably be somebody who was quieter, less successful, and ultimately probably a shell of the person who I eventually grew into. But fortunately, I wasn't allowed to believe him in the first place. And I do firmly believe in giving credit where it's due. I really do.
Yeah, I honor that completely. Where can everybody find you right now in the links to your books, get access to everything you're doing?
Well, you can firstly, my own website is www.edake.com. My PR firm I've just set up is www.midastouchpr.org. You can buy the books on Amazon. And just for the sake of my mum, who I know will be watching this, check
Yes.
out my mum, fantastic author. Go to www.kjak.com.
Perfect. Okay. So, Ed, this is the part of the show where I'm going to tell you what makes you special for whatever my opinion is worth. But it's not just what you accomplished, it's the fact that you decided early that your story was never going to define you. A lot of people spend their lives trying to undo what they were told, or they become a victim of the circumstance and they're pointing blame at everybody else for why they've never achieved or accomplished anything next level. You never accepted that in the first place, and you honor your dad, and I think that's incredible. But also, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to listen. There's a point where you could have rebelled and just been like, "Nope, I'm a victim. I'm a victim." And I love that you really listen to the core of who you are. And then what do? You back all of that up with absolute discipline and action and consistency across everything you've done. I feel like every experience you've had, including, your story of your parents, all of this, I think you have used that and you are making such an impact. I think you have this incredible stewardship of potential that is making a difference in the world one person at a time, and I honor that. I think that's what makes you special. And to everyone listening, can you stop agreeing with limitations that were never yours? Like, that's someone else's story already. They keep telling them and then you repeat them, but it doesn't make them true. God did not create you to stay inside someone else's bullshit expectations. You're called to rise, to grow, to become more every single day, to step into being contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. And remember, you guys, your mess is your message. The things you overcome, the things you're still working through, that's your power. And you all know I'm going to say this. Podcasting right now is one of the most powerful tools available to you. And like nobody's using it the right way. So listen to me. If you have lived something real, you should be using your voice. And that's why I created a podcast support group, okay? It is free. I literally give away all the secrets. I help you simplify it, start it, and build something from your story. No bullshit, just execution. If you've been sitting on it, please join my group, get in the arena, start using your voice. You guys, make sure you get connected with Ed. I need you to like this episode, subscribe to the show so you don't miss another conversation. Leave a written review. There's someone that needs to hear Ed's story. There's someone who is stuck on someone else's definition of who they were, and they're never going to get through it if you cannot bring them to it. And so I need you to share Ed's voice today and his message and his story with as many people as you can. Leave a written review. It takes less than 2 minutes. Like, stars are super cute. I'm not ungrateful for that. But it really does reach more people if you just take the time to type something out, okay? You know someone we could never have access to. And without your help, we will never be able to spread the story. If you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Ed, okay, this is incredible. I just, God bless your journey. You're doing amazing things. And thank you so much for taking time today.
And thank you as well. Thank you for having me, and thank you for all that you're doing as well. God bless you.
Thank you.